You're listening to episode number 480 of the 360 Vegas podcast. Check out the blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. Get early and sometimes exclusive access to all things 360 Vegas, including 33 episodes of Vintage Vegas, 46 Ante Ups, and lots more with a $7 per month subscription to Patreon. That's patreon.com/360vegas. Join the conversation on Discord with dedicated chats covering all things 360 Vegas. It's free to join, and an invite to our server can be found at 360vegaspodcast.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The pools, the casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio.
Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo. Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
I know you guys aren't participating a ton, but we're having fun over at Discord.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Yeah. It's not for everybody.
And let me be clear. Just because you don't see me doesn't mean that I'm not following and enjoying the conversations. I'm hitting the little like buttons on some of the things that folks
stalking.
Are saying. So I'm
fair
around.
Enough,
I'm lurking.
Lurking. There
all
you
right,
go.
That's good. Speaking of Discord, there was a movie that was brought to my attention. I'm curious if you've ever seen. It's called Where It's At.
Never even heard of it.
Oh, my God, dude. It is awesome. The sound quality is terrible. Not the sound quality. The sound design is terrible. But beside that, it's set in Caesar's Palace, 1969. Like, they're literally filming there. So Caesar's Palace is only 3 years old at this time. And it's literally set inside Caesar's Palace in one of the real suites. And the story is there's a dad who is the casino manager, and his son's coming back from college or whatever, and he wants him to join the business. He wants him to learn the business. And the son doesn't want anything to do with it, doesn't like gambling, doesn't like Vegas. And that's the story.
Okay. What is the name of it again?
Where It's At. You can actually...
And where can I...
You can find it on YouTube for free.
I mean, for now, listeners, because now that we've put it out there...
I know, right?
It's going to spike and everyone's going to see it. But yeah, Where It's At. Cool. Listen, who cares about the sound quality? You're probably watching it more for the imagery anyway.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I was really impressed with it. I mean, it's not a great movie, but it's a good movie with some great Vegas porn. And especially, she's only 3 years old, man. I mean, this is her in her prime.
That's so cool. That's awesome. I kind of wondered to what degree, if any, I'm sure probably not, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. So one of the things Alfred Hitchcock was known to do was to make little like cameo appearances where he would walk off from a train behind, you know, the lead actor making a comment. I wonder if Jay Sarno did the same thing. At some point he crosses behind, you know, just a blackjack table or something.
Right. I know Jay Sarno had... They do, in the movie, page Jay Sarno. They page Jerry Zarowitz, who was the casino manager at the time. And if they did Stanley Mullen, I missed it. pages him. I thought it was pretty sweet.
Well, the good news is I get to watch this before even Patreon gets access to this. So, and Patreon gets access to watch this movie Where It's At before the rest of the crew does. So
we'll have a link to it in the show notes for those of you who are looking for it. If you're having any trouble finding it,
that's awesome.
Because the link was in Discord. So worst case scenario, if I'm wrong that it's not YouTube that it's on, I swear it's on YouTube. But if not, I know there's a link that it's where I watch the movie.
Okay, very cool. Well, let's start the show. He's Mark, he's Karen, and I'm Tony. And as always, we start with Random Vegas.
Vegas has been attempting to go smoke-free since the early 90s. The first casino to ban cigarette smoking was at Silver City Casino in 1991.
Never heard of it.
It's in the shopping plaza that used to exist next to Peppermill.
Wow.
Yeah, there's nothing there
so
anymore.
So banned smoking and now no longer exists. Right. What does that tell you?
Exactly. Right. Thank you, Karen. God, I just love everything about you. Listen, I here's the deal. I fight the urge to, and I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent, so humor me for the next 45 seconds. I fight the urge to want to rip out Scott Robin's jugular because I know that the poor guy gets enough of it for all of the other things that he says. And to that degree, I also don't know to what degree Scott Robin believes the shit that comes out of his mouth, because I know that I think he believes it's just good clickbait sort of provocative
starts the conversations
commentary, right.
Whether they're
exactly.
good or bad.
Yeah,
exactly. And so when he goes on his little tangents about cigar smoking, I just presume that either he's, because he is of a certain age where they would have smoked Swisher Sweets and that would have been what would have been quote unquote, you know, high quality stuff a la Black and Milds when he was younger. And so all he knows about cigars is garbage. You
well, if he knows anything, you're presuming a lot here.
You are presuming a lot here. Yeah.
He may have been anti-cigar his entire life, for all we know.
And so when I see his little tirades on Twitter about cigar smoking, I want to, the visceral side of me, that you know, that Twitter side of me where you can just whatever your fat thumbs can type out in 140 characters wants to chime in. And I don't, because number one, I like Scott. I have a great deal of respect for Scott. And so I wouldn't do that for Scott. But I also think to myself, Scott, buddy, let's you and I sit down together and let's enjoy a high quality cigar at the Davidoff Lounge outside of the fashion show mall.
This sure, meeting's, you know, never happening.
Maybe we'll invite Mark and Karen to be a part of it too. But you and I will enjoy a fine quality cigar with a fine quality bourbon, and you will. I will.
You're
help
not getting him to drink bourbon either. Yeah. You're on another planet right now. You're.
That's the reason that his drink is a Captain and Diet, and it's
heavy
like
on the diet.
Heavy on the diet, because as he's said to us several times before, he does not want to taste the alcohol. So there's no way you're going to get him to do a bourbon.
Yeah.
I can't with this guy. He's making me want to hate him when I want to love him. I just want to love you, Scott. Why won't you love me back? All right, let's get into the. Oh, hey, by the way, Mark, are we committing to this? It is now the Vegas pick of the week? Is
that to be honest with you, I was just too lazy to change it, but we might as well just stick with it.
I'm good with that. Yeah. I'm good with that. So,
it's twit pick, though. Vegas pick doesn't have the same.
I hear you.
I like,
but if I'm not getting
like
all
the
pictures.
Alliterative back of the twit pick of the week.
Yes.
Like I like the
yes.
of the but I get Vegas pick is probably more apropos. Although that's not necessarily true, Mark. I mean, I love that 90% of your pictures come from Twitter.
I'd probably say 95.
Yeah, I like that. Well,
so
and
see,
I like
rather
also
just have
that
it be a one-off.
Listeners.
All right, this is going on way too long.
Sorry.
We'll discuss it.
Okay. Well, and we're stepping over each other. I think we've got a little bit of a lag. So let's roll into the Vegas pick of the week.
It was the original Mega Sign. Not quite a super pylon, but big enough to make a statement. The Champagne Tower at the Flamingo, shared by @_GrandpaD, stood as a beacon for the property for years while she was a low-rise building. The cylindrical structure lit up at night with glowing bubbles that crescendoed in the revolving name of the property at the top. Sadly, it was removed by Kirk Kerkorian, who decided to push the property closer to the road to pull in more foot traffic. It was replaced in 1968 with the iconic super pylon known as the Flamingo Plume signage. Crescendoed.
Crescendoed. That's your $10 word for the day?
Yeah, that's it.
Karen, what are your thoughts?
I always like seeing the old signage, but the old signage looks so much better when it's lit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, agreed.
It just, so it's kind of cool. It's like, huh, that was a thing. but I know we've posted pictures of it or had a twit pic that was of it lit up at night, which to me is much more impressive.
Yeah.
I agree. I personally am of the opinion that this looks almost, if I didn't know better, if you would remove the word flamingo that's wrapped around it at the very top and maybe photoshopped in a castle near or next to it, I would think that it was just like a turret that was a part of a castle, you know, in Scotland.
That's a good call.
Because it's just, it's there's really nothing to look at presently in this daylight photo. What's amazing though about it is knowing what it looks like, how beautiful that Champagne Tower looks when it's fully lit at night is just gorgeous. And the fact that they've got a sign here that says that they've got Ella Fitzgerald, Myron Cohen, and Harry James playing. I gotta say, I have a subscription to SiriusXM, and I will listen to the Sinatra channel all the time. No surprise, right?
Yeah, no surprise.
And they play so much Ella Fitzgerald, and every time I know her, the minute the first note comes out of her mouth, without even having to look at who it is that's playing and what the name of the song is, I know it's immediately Ella Fitzgerald. She's just got this most gorgeous fucking voice, and I just love everything Ella. I think Ella Fitzgerald is my female Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
I'm going to put it out there right now. To me, Ella Fitzgerald is the female Frank Sinatra for that era. I love everything about her. So,
wow, that's high praise.
As always, we will link to the photo on our blog, feature on all of our social media outlets such as Flickr, Pinterest, Facebook, and Twitter. Let's get into the news. The news is brought to you by StripWalking.com. For the ultimate customizable POV walking experience in Vegas, check out StripWalking.com. First up, let's talk about this, and this is a really fun story. There is a Bugsy documentary possibly in the works.
Yeah, it hasn't happened in the community in a while, but once again, you get the opportunity to be a supporter in a large Vegas project, possibly helping it come to fruition. The people that brought you the Vegas Skim book are making a movie and have begun crowdfunding for the completion of the film Bugsy the Documentary. The goal is $15,000, and the time frame is now until April 28th. Contribution options start at $1 and vary what you get for the level of contribution, including some digital books, a digital copy of the film, and some crazy perks for those on the higher-end option. Those interested in contributing can find a link on the blog. We'll also share it on our social media, or you can just go to fundiverse.com and search Bugsy. Now,
fund, like F-U-N-D?
Yes. Diverse? Yeah, like fund and diverse and push them together. Take
two,
one D out.
Are there two Ds or just one?
Just one D.
Just one D. Okay.
So push them together. Fundiverse.com. Search for Bugsy. Now, I think like the last time we had something like this happen was Dr. Dave's book. So I get excited about doing these kind of things that I can somehow be a part of something Vegas historical.
Yeah.
I mean, now we're not. I also want to make clear we're not being paid to report on this. You know, this is just something that I thought was cool, that I wanted to genuinely, you know, a worthwhile cause I wanted to bring to your attention. Now, starting after this, people who aren't Patreon subscribers are probably going to hear commercials. And in that case, then yes, we are getting paid.
Cool. Very cool. Love that. That's awesome. That's awesome.
But this first time, this first time's on us.
What's the first hit's always free?
Right.
Exactly.
Listen, I'm really interested in this concept. I'm a little surprised there haven't been more better documentaries. And if I were writing this like grammatically, more comma better comma documentaries. You know, there's the very very loosely based movie called Bugsy that starred Warren Beatty.
Yeah, that's a huge fiction is
exactly
what that movie
and
is.
And then once in a blue moon, you'll find a couple of documentaries like I Want to Make Something Up. maybe Drunk History might do a Bugsy Siegel aspect, right, or you know, just these little one-off things. So to contribute an entire documentary to it, I think is probably what needed. So that's interesting. I'm that's cool. So thanks for bringing this to my attention.
You're welcome.
Next up is best places to stay in Vegas.
Yeah, National Geographic did a story on the best places to stay in Vegas, and I thought it'd be fun if you guys could guess the winners just based on the titles.
Oh,
okay. All right. All right. I'm ready. Let's do this.
All right. So the first one up is best for food adventures.
Oh, I know my pick. Karen, I'll let you go first because I think I can probably guess your answer.
My gut reaction is Cosmo.
Of course.
Yep.
However, I think Bellagio is also going to be very strong in the running.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And potentially Mandalay Bay.
All right.
Interesting. So for me personally, my answer to this, if National Geographic wants to come to me, you know, for 2025, hint, I would say the best for food adventures, I would go to the Venetian Palazzo complex.
Oh,
that's good.
Yeah, that is good too.
That's good. This is probably the most confusing answer, to be honest with you.
Well, I have to say this. I think Venetian Palazzo would not be on my list because some really good restaurants there have closed, that they haven't been able to, I don't know, make it.
God, you know what we haven't done in a long time is Cut. I want to do Cut again before it closes.
Yeah, I don't think Cut's going anywhere.
No, I don't either, but it's been a long time since we've gone. Hey,
you're not going to hear me say no.
I would eat that with you guys, no questions asked. Yeah. So.
Perfect.
But anyways, this is the most confusing one. They said the Conrad at Resorts World.
What?
Yeah, I thought that was confusing. Would you say Resorts World's in the conversation, Karen?
No.
No? Even with that whole outdoor plaza thing or whatever?
What outdoor plaza thing?
Whatever they got, the food hall thing.
No. Because I've been unimpressed with the food hall, I think the two times that I've eaten there. I wasn't impressed with the steakhouse. I think we did the Italian place, which I think that for me was a service issue more than anything else.
Okay.
I just haven't been, and there isn't anything there that draws me in to say, oh, I really want to go try this. I'm going to Resorts World.
Gotcha. Okay.
So.
All right. The next one is best for sophisticated glamour.
Oh shit!
Sophisticated glamour.
Karen, I'm gonna go ahead and let you have that one as well to give me a second to think about.
Honestly, when I think of glamorous hotels, and people are gonna think I'm just, you know, over here sucking Cosmo's dick, but Cosmo to me has the most. I don't know if it's sophisticated.
Yeah.
Maybe,
what about you, Tony?
No,
what
maybe
you-
it should be like Wynn. Winner Encore.
Okay. What about you, Tony? What do you got?
Well, you know what, Karen? I will see your sucking of Cosmo's dick, and I will raise you a dead-ass Sheldon Adelson, because I'm going to go back to Venetian Palazzo. If I want to feel like a sophisticated glamour, I think there's something to be said about gambling. Mark, one of the happiest, most fun memories I have was you and me and my wife and Magnus and his buddy that came over and us just sitting at a video poker bar in the middle of the Venetian casino floor, just all hanging out, having a good time, playing some video poker. That to me was glamorous. And then when we were done there, we moved to some other place that felt just as glamorous. And Karen, we took Magnus and his friend to all sorts of fun cocktail lounges. That to me is when I think of a sophisticated glamour experience, that for me embodies it.
All right, well, Karen's going to be thrilled because National Geographic picked Cosmopolitan.
Woohoo!
Cool. Yeah. Cool. To be clear, I don't disagree. I do not disagree. I am such an embarrassing...
late to the party, Cosmo.
Late to the party, Cosmo fan. Yeah. After Vegas Vacation 12, but I can't be mad. I want to be. Trust me, 10 years ago, me wants to be super mad right now. But I get it.
I think it's the combination of the two words, right? Sophisticated and glamour. I think to Tony's point,
they use the words very well here, I think, honestly.
Yes. I mean, I definitely see Venetian Palazzo as being sophisticated. I see Wynn and Encore as being sophisticated. I don't necessarily see them as glamorous. And I think that that's what kind of pushes Cosmo over the edge.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right. Next up is best for budget travelers. Now, before you answer, this is the best for budget travelers. So not necessarily the one that everybody, you know, you would think.
Nope. Got my answer.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Got my answer. This should surprise literally no one. Everyone is screaming into their cars right now. Bally's Horseshoe. Bally's Horseshoe. Because I think the best budget, the best place you can stay if you're on a budget is Bally's. You are on the Strip. You are Central Strip. You're getting an incredibly affordable room. If you don't like the food options at Horseshoe, you can go next door connected to Paris, which has the Vanderpump and the, Martha Stewart.
The Bedford. It's got a Nobu. It's got,
Doesn't it have a...
I always forget it's got a Nobu.
Who's that that British screamy cook guy? Oh, Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. Right? He's got a steakhouse.
But that's and that's if you don't want to leave the property. If you don't mind leaving the property, go next door to Planet Hollywood on one side or Cromwell Flamingo on the other. I
don't eat at Flamingo. We're not encouraging.
Good luck, guys. Imagine try to pick something better than Horseshoe right now.
All right, Karen, what do you got?
Well, you know, when you say budget, my head immediately went to Excalibur, which I don't think...
would you call that best though, Karen?
No, exactly to your point. No, it's not. For lack of any other idea in my head, probably Bally's Horseshoe I would agree with. Because Harrah's, I don't know that I ever want to stay in Harrah's again. Flamingo is kind of hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and the rooms are huge at the Horseshoe too. So
Horseshoe, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
National Geographic said the Link
for budget. Huh. Okay. Listen, I will give them this for one reason and one reason only.
Yeah, it's
they've got some mediocre restaurants, but they also are right there as it relates to those restaurants that are kind of down that strip as
promenade.
You're walking towards the high roller.
Yeah.
All right, so the next one is best for party animals.
Go ahead, Karen. I totally domineered that last one, so I'm going to let you...
It's fine. Best for party animals. I am so far removed from this that I don't know that I am going to be able to make a good... honestly, it might be Wynn. Because they've got the beach club... Day, night, they still have like three other nightclubs, I think.
Right, I think so.
So, you know, that one might be it. Right. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Tony?
What a fascinating answer, Karen, because I initially thought about the higher end places and then I discounted them because I guess in my head, maybe to some degree, I still had budget traveler stuck there. So I discounted, but I like where your head's at. Follow me on this. I'm going to say that the two best places to be a party animal depends on how much you want to spend.
Yeah.
Because I think that the Link and the Cromwell could be good party animal places.
The Cromwell popped into my head with Andreas nightclub up on top there. Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yes. I think if you want to have I think 23-year-old me would love the shit out of present day Link.
Yeah.
I think that 35-year-old me would love the shit out of the Cromwell.
Yeah.
45-year-old me loves the shit out of Horseshoe. So just careful, kids. How old are you? I am future you.
And National Geographic said the MGM Grand was best for party animals with Hakkasan and the pool that they got, the Wet Republic. And then just how large it is that you can gather... large groups together, but
I can't support MGM under any unless what is the worst fucking place to stay at because it's a fucking labyrinth and you'll never see your friend. Hey, who wants to go and spend time with their in-laws without ever having to spend time with their in-laws? If that were a category, I'd say MGM Grand.
All right, I think these last three telegraphed themselves by their wording. So, best for luxury.
I hate to do it, Karen. I'm just gonna jump ahead because I'm not gonna be original. I think Venetian Palazzo. I would rather stay at Venetian Palazzo over. Now I haven't that versus say Wynn Encore. I gotta say though, caveat: I haven't stayed at Resorts World, and I haven't stayed at Fountain Blue, so that could change things. But on the Strip, best for luxury, I would do. I'm a Venetian Palazzo fan.
I would have to say like Encore.
Okay.
Wynn Encore.
Win.
Yeah, fair enough.
That was close.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, best for sports lovers.
I tap out. I have no idea. I truly don't have any idea.
And Karen crushed it. It was Circa.
Was it? Okay. Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
That's a no-brainer.
All right, and then the last one, best for old school kitsch.
So, can I ask this question, Mark? Should I be thinking downtown for what the answer was?
For old school kitsch?
Correct.
I would think, yeah.
I would have to say El Cortez.
Okay.
Because I feel like they've got, their casino hasn't been touched in God knows how long. And they've got like the barber shop. They've got, they just have.
Our casino's actually been refreshed a little while ago.
Yeah, but it's still.
It still maintains its same.
Yeah.
I don't want to say dingy, but that's the first word that comes to mind is it like it keeps its charm, I guess.
Yeah, I would say El Cortez.
That's what they said, El Cortez.
Good job. Nice job, Karen. You nailed it. So if anybody cares, my wife, who can hear this conversation from a floor above, she wants you to know that she thinks the best sports lover should be Circa. She thinks the old school kit should be Flamingo, if we're talking about on the Strip.
Oh.
She said that she also believes that she goes, party and luxury. I have nothing to offer. She goes, Venetian, my suite there was tops. So
I love that she's playing along.
If you get the presidential suite at Venetian, that is going to feel like luxury to you.
There you go.
According to my wife. She said for sports lovers, she goes, I don't know. That sports book at Bellagio is tops. She goes, my Apple TV won't work, so now I'm thinking of things. So, sorry, gang. Sorry. Hey, podcast listeners, my wife's going to chime in from time to time.
I love it.
Finally, we've got Summerlin Sports.
It's
Sweets.
Studios.
Thank you. Hey, listeners, I told Mark and Karen I was coming in warm.
Now you're hot.
They let me calm down a little bit, and now I've spiked.
Yes. This week plans were approved
about Summerlin Studios
for a 31-acre, 500,000 square foot movie studio to be built in Summerlin in partnership with Sony Pictures and Howard Hughes Holdings. The project is projected to cost $1.8 billion and create some 10,000 jobs. No timeline when the project will begin or when it is expected to be completed. The location will be at Town Center Drive in 215.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be like way out someplace in an area that really hadn't been developed yet. This is, I mean, you could argue this is in Summerlin.
Well, yeah, that's Summerlin Studios.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that. But I thought it was going to be further out. I didn't, because people say the Summerlin area and it covers a wide area.
It's a lot of land.
Yeah, and they also have Summerlin South and all that other stuff too. But this is literally in the middle of... Oh, I bet you I know where it is. I bet you it's because there's that massive open lot that it looks like it was supposed to be built as like a an office park.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just sitting there. I bet you that's it. Oh, now I want to go like drive around and try to
The interesting thing about this is that it's calling for 10,000 jobs. The infrastructure that this is the same infrastructure concerns were brought up when Howard Hughes mentioned the Super Sands, because he was projecting 10,000 jobs. People were like, where the fuck are we going to get all the schools to house all the kids that are going to come from all the families that have to move here to do this? But yeah. Vegas has adapted ever since. So,
except our school district is one of the worst in the country, but that's a whole nother.
Yeah, it's other problem.
I mean, not all of it. You got to pick and choose, right? Like, is it all?
Do you want a school or do you want a good school?
Exactly. Listen, do they teach the kids how to read and write? That's all that matters.
What is next up is prop bets. This isn't just the studio. It says it's also going to have a lot of mixed use. So it'll have retail, restaurants, office
space. Well, of course, everything that gets built has mixed use. And
an emergency room facility.
Yeah.
Alongside an already built Clark County fire station.
Okay, okay, Don't read the story on the show. That's why we have the bullet points.
I'm sorry, I'm interested in this.
That's going to do it for news. Let's roll into prop bets. For those of you unfamiliar, prop bets is an extension of the news, but with just bits and pieces of noteworthy items. Prop bets is brought to you by Vegas Near Me. If it's fun to do or see, it's on Vegas Near Me. Available free on Android and iPhone. Use the search term 360VV14 to get a listing of the properties we will be featuring at 360 Vegas Vacation. First up, and I love this. This is cool. I fucking love living in 2024. So TSA has unveiled a new self-service line at the Harry Reid Airport. It's only for those with TSA pre-check-in, only if you speak English. But according to the articles I've read, like you almost don't, like there's somebody somewhere sitting in a queue, but you don't have a human being there. It's going to do what it's going to do, and you're just going to move the fuck on. Unless there's a problem, just keep on walking.
Yeah.
Hmm. This week, the rumor that Bruno Mars is in as much as $50 million in debt to MGM was debunked by the company, who said in an official statement, quote, he has no debt with MGM. This whole story has been going all over the place. It's like, that's why he's doing all these shows and residencies, is because he owes them so much money.
Or because he's making tons of money, like all the other artists that are doing it, too.
Yeah.
If you believe Scott, and I really do, as much as I rag on the guy, I truly do partially swing from his nuts. He's saying that it's true, but not. The reason he doesn't owe $50 million to MGM is because they're taking their cut out of.
It still just sounds too fanciful to me. I don't buy it.
No. Listen, it seems hard to me. I don't know how you spend, and trust me, I would love to have this problem. I don't know how you spend $50 million.
Yeah.
I don't know how you spend it. You lose it, you gamble it, you whatever you do. I don't know how you spend $50 million with an entity for the sake of them saying, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay you $60 million.
Yeah,
you'll give us back $50 million in value, and we'll pay you $10 million out. I believe Scott. I do.
Yeah, I don't. Not in this case.
All right.
Leading up to its closure on April 2nd, Tropicana is devoting its marquee to the names of the more than 700 employees they are letting go, quote, as a tribute to their invaluable contributions and service.
Right. That's what that's going to make them happy, is to have their names scrolling on the marquee.
I know, right? We stayed to the end.
Well, if it's going to happen, though, that's a really classy, nice touch.
Yeah.
I saw something today that said that basically they've run out of $1 chips.
Yes,
because
saw that as well.
People are coming in, and they're continuously shutting down more and more table games because people aren't staying to the end. Folks are getting other jobs and moving on. So,
as they should.
Movestro Vegas is reporting that the Four Queens has removed their Silver Strike machines from the casino floor, but hang on, Vital Vegas later confirmed that they will be returning them to the gaming floor. So, I like that. Okay. My wife and I are such super dorky fans of those slot machines. matter of fact, I got a I don't know whether I should love this or hate this, and I will welcome Twitter fans to reach out and tell me. I have never had a job. Well, Karen, actually, chime in and tell me what you think of this. I've never had a job in my lawyerly career where I've had to travel as a part of my job. So because I haven't, when I have had the very rare opportunity to travel because of my job, I have loved it. I got the opportunity to go out to Santa Fe, New Mexico. My wife came out, she took some vacation time, and we went to the Route 66 casino, and there is a Silver Strike machine. And so my wife was able to successfully get herself a Silver Strike coin from the Route 66 casino. At what point, Karen, does a person who travels for their job start to loathe the travel that is a part of their job?
So I think That depends on two main factors. Three. One is, where are you traveling to?
Okay.
Because if you're going to a fun city like Albuquerque, New Mexico, sure. I mean, give it a try. It's a big city. It's got stuff to check out. Second, I think it depends on how much you love or hate your job. Because if you hate your job anyway, and then you have to travel on top of it, it's a whole nother pain in the ass. And then I think it depends on how difficult is the travel. So my prior work career, I used to spend, when I first got the job, when we were living in Memphis, I spent 50% of my time traveling. And it was always a week, a month down to New Orleans, and then it was out in the field, you know, visiting franchisees and that kind of stuff. Loved that. It was a blast. A little bit later, they expanded my territory, and I had to start traveling. In addition to New Orleans, I had to travel to Kansas City. And I loved Kansas City as a city. It was fine. But there were no direct flights, so you either had to spend 6 to 7 hours on planes and airports to get there, or you had to drive 7.5 hours. Which was just miserable. It was 5 hours down to New Orleans. That was no problem. I could do that all day long. And on top of it, I hated the additional work they gave me when they gave me Kansas City. So, you know, I think it's a combination of those three factors. Because even another job that I had when we were based in Chicago, I spent every other week a month for 3 months in Minneapolis. From December to February.
Great months to be in Minneapolis.
But I didn't mind it. It was easy to get up there. I liked what I was doing. And they had covered parking at the office, and my hotel had underground parking, so my car was never frozen or snowed on. So that I loved. I mean, again, and I was gone 50% of the time, but it didn't bother me. I enjoyed what I was doing, so... Sorry, that was a long...
Yeah, let's talk about Vegas.
No, I listen, sometimes the value that we bring, Mark, is just the fun one-off conversations that we occasionally have, because that's what people
really
say,
Tony,
about our
because
podcast,
the way that this show has been successful is I've always gone by what I find entertaining, and currently I am not entertained.
Good Lord.
I can't argue against that logic, unfortunately. I try. I can't argue against that logic.
Las Vegas locally is reporting that Wynn will be tier matching in April and May, which I told Mark we need to go over and tier match because we might actually get something out of Wynn at this point.
Yeah. Yep. At Champ Chazzo 2 is reporting that Mandalay Bay is opening a smoke-free section for slot players.
That is funny to me. If there is any group of human beings that I think give less of a shit about... smoke free, it is slot players.
Yeah.
One of the things I love the best is that it's a race between who can run out of a $20 bill before they run out of their cigarette. So,
well, they put a section in Plaza, excuse me.
Yeah. And that's going to be empty real fucking soon, but I'm sorry, Joe. The Kelvin Harris Show at Live Beach. I think it's Live Beach, L-I-V, at Fountain Blue, had to end up being postponed because of high winds, and their next scheduled appearance will be May 19th. Now, I think the less aspect was that Calvin Harris's show had to be postponed because of high winds. So, listeners, it is capital L, capital I, capital V. So my guess is
we're not doing
some
this.
Sort of
no.
No, we're not going to talk about this?
No, we're not going to talk about how to pronounce live or live, whatever it is. It's one of the two.
I think
our other tangents went too far, Tony. He's lost his cool.
We've used up all of our tangents.
Yes.
Well, especially you, handsome. Like any opportunity you get, like, kids, let's pontificate about something here.
Gather
real
around.
Quick.
Listen, buddy, we got 4 pages and we're already 3.5 pages in. We're going to be done in 6 minutes if I shut the fuck up. listeners at home are like, yes, thank you.
Despite all the fees we've come to hate, as well as the rise in cost in the cost of those fees, in a recent survey, Vegas visitors were 87% very satisfied, which is the highest rating they could give with their visit. Only two were dissatisfied, the worst you could give. And historically, that's actually 5%.
What do you mean it was the highest? 87% was the highest they could give?
No, no, no. Very satisfied. That was the highest that they could give.
Got it.
Yeah. People are very happy with Vegas right now.
Interesting.
We are apparently in the minority to bitch about such fees.
My guess is they just don't go enough, so they don't understand. Like, they don't know.
They don't have a basis of comparison.
Yeah,
I would agree. I mean, there's definitely a more intelligent traveler to Vegas. I mean, you can. I mean, I don't mean to make it sound like they're not intelligent, but like, there's definitely, you know.
Yeah, the more experienced.
Right. Like, you know how to take advantage of what the city can offer.
Experience sounds much better than more intelligent.
Right, fair enough.
Listeners, that pontification was brought to you by Mark, the host of the podcast, who found that an okay pontification.
Because he found it interesting.
That's right. Exactly. I don't know any better.
Karen, tell me about New Edition.
Isn't that you?
No, he skipped over you because I pontificated too longly about Calvin.
Oh, that's
Harrison.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, see, he really wanted us to move along. New Edition has extended their residency at Wynn to include shows in July, October, and November. Yay. And somebody got tickets.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Congrats, you guys.
Oh,
very
I'm not
cool.
Going.
Good for you.
The concert wife is going with him.
Yeah.
I mean, still, you're going to go see New Edition. That's
I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it.
Well, the prices came down, and Mark's like, I don't know, there's still... It was still a lot per ticket, but not the $400 it had been before.
Right.
And sure. I just told him, I said, look, we've already made the comment that, like, we regret never having to go on and see Paul McCartney. Because I don't know that we're going to get another shot. I'm like, is this a group that you will regret never having gone to see? And then he said, but you don't really want to go. And I'm like, look. Ask your concert wife and see if she wants to go. She was all over it. Yeah. So, yeah, he and Christina awesome. Are going to go have a good time there.
In response to Wynn's lawsuit against Fountain Blue for poaching talent, Fountain Blue is countersuing Wynn, claiming that the executives who left Wynn did so on their own terms because they had grown dissatisfied with the resort.
Did you see the section of the lawsuit that Scott had posted on Twitter? It had screenshots. The lawsuit itself had screenshots of text conversations back and forth between, and I don't know who exactly it was, but it was a Wynn executive and a Fountain Blue executive. And the Wynn executive is just cussing him out. Like, there's no tomorrow. And I was like, wow, this was the language that these people were using back and forth. So basically in this lawsuit, it's kind of accusing the Wynn executive of just being, of harassing them and being an asshole.
Sure.
So it was, I can't believe they included like a text screenshot in the lawsuit.
Good for them. I mean, good for them. You want to prove harassment in the workplace? The best way to do it is with anything in writing. I have said to so many friends and colleagues, please, for Christ's sake, don't ever, and I'm going to make this more generic for the podcast listeners, please, for Christ's sake, don't ever text, email, I don't know,
don't put it in any form of electronic communication.
Exactly. Anything in writing that you don't want to show up as a screenshot on the top half front page of the New York Times, the Washington Post, whatever the LA newspaper is, the London Times. I never cease to be amazed at what people will put in writing.
Oh, yeah. Rio opened their wine cellar tasting room this week.
Ooh.
It's open Thursday to Sunday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
I do like that. I saw a picture.
Are you guys
much
of wine drinkers at all?
Karen, I am not.
I am. I mean, I'm not. I know what I like and what I don't. I love doing tastings, and I love when they do pairings with food.
Oh, sure, with your food. Okay. Yeah, do you find yourself to be more of a red wine versus a white wine, or do you find yourself to be more of a, if I'm going to drink red, I want X, and if I'm going to drink wine, I want Y?
I'm definitely more of a red person. I find whites in general are too sweet.
Okay.
Really, the only white that I will consistently go to is like a Pinot Grigio. But then when you go on the red side, I can't stand anything. So none of the dessert wines, like that's not going to happen. And I tend to like a Malbec, a Syrah, something a little more middle, like not as light as a Pinot and not as, as heavy as a Cab. So
fair enough.
That's kind of my my take.
Westgate's announced that their new Kennel Club suite featuring portraits of pets with likenesses to celebrities. No word how much this 1,450 square foot room will cost you.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's a little
weird.
What
a stupid fucking concept.
I put a link so you could see it, but yeah, it's silly.
Here's what I expected, Mark, because I did not read this bullet point ahead of time. Here's what I expected the outcome to be. Westgate announced their new Kennel Club suite featuring portraits of pets with likenesses to the people who are going to be staying in these suites. So if you send a text picture of yourself with your pet, they were going to do something fun, or maybe even just print it off and post it to the wall.
I didn't think
that would be ingenious. Yeah.
No, and even if you pull up the link, like I thought that the pet itself was going to resemble a celebrity. No, these are pets that they have.
They're like paintings,
dressed up, doctored to look like a celebrity.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the main one here is it's Ozzy Osbourne because it looks like a Great Dane muzzle, wearing a black shirt, it's got long black hair, with a like a cross hanging on it, and the purple sunglasses. So the,
I saw like the one I noticed was Ziggy Stardust.
Oh, that's who that is.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's they're. Oh, and there's Amy Winehouse.
That's funny. That's that dog is doesn't have white as a part of its muzzle. That's the cocaine
that's just
underneath
the cocaine.
Its nose. Yeah. Listen, listeners, if you have so much money that you can afford to stay at the Kennel Club Suite, Tony, Mark, and Karen would love, and I mean love, to hang out with you for a long weekend. We should all meet up together. At Sin City Alerts reports that casino security was called to the sidewalk on the strip regarding a male causing a disturbance, saying he's going to hurt someone if he doesn't get some cocaine soon. I've been there, sir. I get it. No judgment. All you need is just a little bit of Amy Winehouse Kennel Club Suite action. Right. It'll make sense.
I'm gonna hurt someone if I don't get some cocaine.
It's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I have some extra in my pocket.
Right.
Here you go.
All right. Would someone get this man some cocaine?
I know. Come now. Come here. Just sniff off this mirror. It's
that reminds me of when Matt, who used to co-host the show.
Mm-hmm. We were you better say this quick because this is awkward now for him.
No, but when he was in Vegas, no lie, he would just be walking down the street and you'd have a busker or somebody there going, you know, come see a show, go do this, want some cocaine. Like
that was the height of my that was the height of my my busker interaction was when I had someone proposition me with cocaine. I'm like, holy shit.
No, but like he'd get asked four or five times just walking from Link to Paris.
And I think I remember Alistair saying that he gets that a fair frequent amount. And
what
I don't
about
know
tall Europeans apparently.
Is it all Europeans or I've had the wonderful opportunity to hang out with Matt personally. I've had a wonderful opportunity to hang out with Alistair multiple times. They're tall motherfuckers. Is there something about being 6'2" or taller that makes you a immediate cocaine fiend?
I don't know.
I have so many questions.
And lastly, the official close date for Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville was disclosed this week as April 18th. The restaurant said they are currently looking for a new location. Good luck. They're never going to get the frontage.
No way.
Like they
have
there.
Present day?
No.
I mean,
I think this does circle back and answer some of the questions that we had last week, which was, what the fuck happened? And my guess is
it just came. Their lease is coming up, and they've just decided they want to do something else.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it for news.
It's been there for 20 years.
Wait. Can I throw something in there real quick?
Maybe.
There was and thank you to Alistair for bringing this to my attention. Apparently, there was another podcaster that was talking with the bartender at Scarpetta in Cosmo, which, Tony, you've been there. delicious Italian restaurant. Fantastic.
Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. And even Mark likes it. Apparently, Scarpetta is now on a month-to-month lease because MGM has decided that they want to bring their restaurants in-house instead of having third parties run them, which means MGM is starting to fuck up Cosmo.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not happy.
You're right. I don't disagree. Anyway,
I'm sorry. I had to get that in there.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Listeners, if there's one thing you need to know about my BFF, Karen, when she's on a tangent, just let her go. Just let her go to town.
When I'm on a rant.
Let her be angry.
That was a rant.
She's wrong. You are not wrong. That would be a loss to Cosmo if Scarpetta leaves.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I think that's going to do it for news and progress. Let's check the river. Like the five communal cards you get in a game of Texas Hold'em, the river can have anything turn up. So is our river segment, and this week we've got some 360 FHE. Now, this is our opportunity to go out and explore the ever-changing landscape of Vegas and share that experience with you. This week, you guys went out and explored Monday's Dark. Tell us about your first-hand experience, please.
Karen, this is all you.
This was so cool, and I should say thank you to listener in front of the show, Kevin, who has written in several times about Monday's Dark. He and his wife have come out and gone to a couple of them. So this is local artists, mostly singers, coming together every other Monday.
It was mostly singers, the one that we went to.
No, I think he said it's mostly singers most of the time.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. But they every other Monday, they have a themed performance night with various, you know, local performers coming in, and it's all for charity. So their goal is to raise $10,000
in 90 minutes.
Wow.
It turns out this is live streamed. When we were there, they were kind of reading off some of the comments and live stream stuff, and there was somebody from Brazil that was listening.
Right.
And it's hosted by, and I'm going to get all these names wrong. It's hosted by Mark. Oh, fuck his last name. It's a goofy last name. But anyway, he's the voice of the Vegas Knights. So he's like their MC hype man, all this stuff for the Knights. The two backup singers, quote unquote, were the guy that sings the national anthem for the Knights every trip and one of the other hype women for the Knights. So, you know, really big around town celebrities. But it was funny. It was the theme that we went to was duets. So they had these various, and the first pair that came out were two women who sang The Boy Is Mine, which is a Brandy Monica song.
Yes. Great song.
You know, it just fantastic singers. They have a live band there. In the middle of it, Mark, the host, was, you know, he had some comedy going on there. You know, they were talking to people in the audience. And at one point they brought up a local businessman and kind of sat him down and talked to him. And this guy that was there for us was the owner of, what the hell is the name of it? It's a shoe store. It's basically like a consignment shoe store. It's in the Forum Shops. And this guy's story is incredible. Like he was sleeping out of his car. And then within a few years now, he has like the highest grossing retail store in Vegas. Because he sells, like he finds all these rare sneakers that you can't find anywhere else and sells them in his shop. So anyway, they had a sit down with him, which was really fascinating to talk up to a local, small business. They talked about the charity and, you know, gave some information on that. It was just so much fun. I know that might sound boring, but it was a blast. I want to go back. I don't even know who the charities are. I want to check out like what the themes are and try to get another couple shows in there.
It's on their site.
It was, yeah. It's Monday's Dark.
Let me ask a couple of clarification questions, Karen, because I this sounds really awesome and I want to give it its respective time. Do you get meals out of this, or is this cocktails, or what is the entertainment satiation aspect of
it? No, that? So, I mean, obviously you have to buy the ticket. And then they do have a bar, so you can buy, you know, you can get your cocktails there. they had, and this might just be this trip, they had a, or this event, a little vendor on the side selling cookies. And they were, I got the caramel apple oatmeal cookie. Holy crap, it was delicious. I also bought a bourbon snickerdoodle, which Mark really liked. He downed that one. They were expensive. They were $6 a cookie, but they were delicious. And they also have a room that had a silent auction. So you could, you could go in and, you know, do it all on your phone, download an app, and you can bid on stuff. And then when you walk in, it's a small room. And it's, I should have mentioned this. It's in kind of the, like the warehouse district. So think of the other side of the 15, kind of a block south of where Caesars is.
There you go.
So it's a very industrial warehouse type area.
Sure.
You would not have known this was there if we didn't have directions to get there. But then the main room, it's all there. It's just a room. It's all one floor, except in the back, they did have one section that was like up on a platform, but otherwise you're sitting on the floor. The performers are up on a platform. We were actually seated at a table. So there were, you know, four of us. So we had a little round table. It wasn't just rows of seats. But yeah, it was.
So if they're trying to raise what 10 grand a night, where do you think then, how do you think that, and it's okay that you're speculating, how would you break down the 10 grand per night? Where how's it coming?
They're working with a ton of people.
Cookies?
They're working with a ton of people to that are donating stuff.
So they also,
that you then bid for.
They also had a raffle that you could buy tickets for, and it was full of a ton of gift cards and, you know, experience packages and stuff that local businesses have donated.
I see.
Okay. So there's the raffle. There's the ticket price to get in.
Well, let's rip the Band-Aid off. How much is the ticket price?
I actually don't know because Kevin bought them.
Yeah.
We have to look.
Okay. Okay.
We'll find out. But
so, fair enough. All right. The only reason I'm even asking is because I want folks to go and I want folks to experience this and I want folks to contribute to this really cool charity opportunity. And if you're getting shows and you're going to sit and watch somebody talk about living in a car until they've made it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what Steve Harvey says all the time. Any interview he goes on, he talks about how he lived in his car until he got, you know, the recognition that he's got in 2024 to do what he does. So,
and the themes range from everything. Like, so this one was duets. Another one that I know Kevin and his wife went to was Disney. So the artists were singing Disney songs. Like, they've got all kinds of fun themes that they do. And all of the themes are listed on the website. To wrap this part up, I do have to give props to Jeff Does Vegas podcast, because I posted out a tweet about going to this and how much fun it was. And he was like, I'm offended. I've been hyping this up on my podcast for like 5 years. And, you know, you're just now going. And to which I said, please don't be offended. Although I'm on a podcast, I rarely listen to any of those, so I didn't know that. Sure. But he's been talking this up for 5 years, so major props out to him for, you know, continuing to promote and support this.
Yeah. And we've talked about this. We've talked about this literal Monday's Dark
Kevin
in the past.
Kevin has written in. Yeah, Kevin has written in because he and his wife have gone.
Got it. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you, Kevin, for introducing us to it firsthand. Let's roll into some listener feedback. Karen, we got an email from Betsy. Would you please share with us what Betsy had to say?
Yes. So Betsy writes, hi, 360 Vegas crew. Listening to the show this morning, and I have an idea for a 500th episode segment. 360 Vegas Awards. It was fun to hear y'all discuss the awards that Tony brought onto the show, and it would be super cool and interesting to hear what categories you might come up with and what would win. Given the transient nature of the city, it might be something worth revisiting every 100 episodes or so to see what remains and what changes. See, this is interesting. Now I kind of want to crowdsource what categories people would like us to.
Oh, that's a good idea.
To rank,
yeah.
Or to give our 2 cents on. Because we
one
could
of the things that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say we could do the ones that were in, you know, the catalog or the magazine that you had, but it would be interesting to see what the listeners would want to get our thoughts on.
I think what I love most about Mark, Tony, and Karen as a collaboration is we each bring something entirely different to this podcast.
And yet we're all still friends. Go figure.
I think that's why we are such great friends, is because no one's stepping on the toes of anybody else. So if you want to know about specifically Vegas history, like there's a part of me that wonders if I wanted to do a Vegas history tour, where would Mark say these are the six places within 2 hours that you could go do? Mm-hmm. Hint, hint, Mark. Right? Like these are the, like that would be super fun. Karen, what are the places that if you've got 2 hours and you can only hit maybe four places just because of drive time and ordering and blah, 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 where would you want to hit for just getting a couple of hot hits off from their menu?
Right.
Hey, Tony, you're in Vegas. You've only got about 4 hours. You want to go hit some cocktail places. Where should I go to go get the best four cocktails in a 2 to 3 hour period in Las Vegas? That would, like, we all have our own strengths. We know what we know what we're best at. And our listeners know exactly what we're best at, because that's what these, like what our friend Betsy is saying. I love this idea. I love this idea, Betsy. I'm all about it. I think that Tony, Mark, and Karen should probably pontificate off mic from it.
Okay. Yeah, lots of ideas.
And then lastly, we've got an email from our wonderful friend, John Chandler.
John writes, really liking the Discord app. Offers a great way to interact with the Vegas nerd community, which I am all in on. One suggestion for a channel. A place where people can post picture or information about their visits. Would be fun to actually get a visual of what people are doing while in town, adding a new level of detail or context to the trip reports. It could also be a way to hear about new places, closures, or other changes in Vegas in something closer to real time. Might be a potential channel for news content for the show. Just a thought.
Yeah, I agreed with that thought, and I created it.
Did you really?
Channel, yeah. We created trip reports for people to share anything that they come across. Like I said, this is just another form of social media. So we're trying to cater to the community as best as we find entertaining as well.
And frankly, what I love most about it is it absolutely, there needs to be a venue where individuals who write these beautiful trip reports up, but they're just so gall darn long and we can't get to all of them without editing them. Post them there. It's free. It's Discord. So you don't have to pay anything to get in there and just read it. Unedited, let's say. But I, John, I think that's a beautiful idea. I think that's an absolutely beautiful idea. And frankly, Betsy, I love where your head's at, and I've got a few ideas. And I think that's something that I might, I don't think I'm going to need to push Mark and Karen into, because I think they'll come up with their own exciting categories. But I love that as well. So I know I'm partially drunk, so please don't take John and Betsy, this being less than quality sincerity. But I really dig the feedback we get from our listeners, because I'm like, well, now where would I, where, if seriously, you had a, I'm making this up, but let's just say you've got a 5 hour layover in Vegas. And so you want to dedicate, you've got, that's just enough time. You can leave the airport. You can jump in an Uber, taxi, whatever. You can get to about four places. You can still get back to the Harry Reid Airport, get through TSA, and be ready to go for your flight without any stress. What four places would I say you should go get a drink at? Gosh darn it, Betsy, I'm literally gonna put pen to paper on this. I'm gonna talk to my wife about it as well, but I'm gonna come up with that. So there you go. Yeah. Wait, that's, I never know what preposition I gotta start with next. That's gonna do it for episode number 480. Thank you for listening and downloading. We really do appreciate it. If you'd like to check out any of the stories on today's show, you can do so on the blog, which is 360vegaspodcast.com. You can get premium and exclusive content when you subscribe to our show at patreon.com/360vegas, and you can get 360 Vegas shirts, mugs, and anything else that we slap a logo on at zazzle.com/360vegas. If you'd like to send some feedback, much like our friends Betsy and John Chandler did, please send that off to Mark. His email address is 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Tony, where can folks find you?
I'm at 360 Vegas. Tony.
Karen.
I'm sorry. You can tell he's drunk by the hand motion he just did.
He just told you where you can find me. So until next time.